Go down to verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened or till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two, two against three, etc. Now this goes against everything that we think about in terms of Jesus' mission. From the beginning, we've sung the Christmas songs, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And here we have him saying, I came not to send peace. Well, we'll see it in a minute. Let's go look at Matthew 10. Verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now what's all this about? Let's go to see where all this peace on earth stuff started. Luke 2. We studied this when we were years ago. When we were in Luke 2. This is the. Well, let's just read it. Verse 8 of chapter 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Now remember, these shepherds were priest shepherds. They were at Bethlehem, and that was they had these towers surrounding Jerusalem, because any cattle, any of the sheep or oxen or anything that went beyond a particular distance, which I think it was 16 miles or something like that, they were ineligible for sacrifice. And so they had to just be treated as regular old cows and sheep. And so they had towers surrounding Jerusalem. And the tower that had the most honor was the tower at Bethlehem, because in Micah it says that the Messiah shall come out of these first seen at Bethlehem. And so that's what their main job was, besides keeping the sheep. The shepherds at Bethlehem, their main job, where they were priests, you've got to understand that first, and their main job was to keep watch for Messiah. Especially now as the 70 weeks of Daniel were being finished.
Was that typical that shepherds, when it talks about shepherds, it's watching sheep that will be used for sacrifice?
Well, in this, I don't know about all cases, but in this case, it certainly is.
Okay.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, that is, again, and this isn't me, this is a very famous scholar. This is what 2:14 should say. The goodwill of God toward men, the Messiah, is glory to God and is the only peace on earth. Now, how they got this other glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, is not, I don't know. I can't answer it. So, it's in Him is the only peace on earth. And in the only peace is in earth from the standpoint of us. Wherever He is, there is peace in us, and that's the only peace on earth. Got it?
If it says God sending a Savior, and within that word itself, it's like, well, that generates, oh, good, a Savior.
Yeah, they didn't think they had to die to get to see it.
Well, they didn't mention that right here.
Yeah. All right. Excuse me. So this thing about division, not peace. He's locked in. Let's go back to Matthew 10. Think that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. That's certainly troubling at best.
Yeah, thanks God. Thanks God.
Yeah.
When you think a little deeper, it kind of clears up and makes sense.
How does it clear up?
Because of
yeah, but if they both don't live their life down, then there's no peace.
Exactly. And that doesn't happen just, let's lay our lives down.
All right, let's go to Micah chapter 7. See if anybody can find Micah. Chapter 7. It's just before Nahum.
Just as an add-on to what I was just thinking, it's Christ and the bride, same relationship. You know, that's not a lovey-dovey
Yeah, but that's why we see in Christ, that's why the Song of Solomon is so important, because that talks to the finished bride, the bride perfected.
Or the beginning, even. I mean, when you see those rows and those. Doesn't it end up both ways? I mean,
I don't think so. I think it's just the
attraction of male to the female.
I think maybe I'm wrong, but it looks, as I read the Song of Solomon, it's the bride has been perfected.
Yeah. Well.
But anyway, that's Micah. Woe is me, chapter 7, verse 1. For I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the great gleanings of the vintage. There's no cluster to eat. My soul desireth the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust not in a friend. Put you not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are they of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. But this is, I just wanted to quote the Old Testament where it's saying the same thing. And now this is after Messiah. That's what's so, everybody's understanding of Messiah was violated in those words of Christ. Because everybody's concept of Messiah is peace, but it's peace on earth.
Their concept is peace on earth?
On earth. And every man.
Okay.
You and I.
Yeah.
That we would have the days of Messiah would be days of peace. Now, they are days of peace for those that have entered the rest, the Sabbath. They are days of relative peace, outward peace, if you don't speak about this mystery. But if you speak about it, all hell breaks loose. And then the man's your enemies will be they of your own household, because Lot in your household won't hear. All right, let's go to John 7. Let's start in verse This is the beginning. This is right after he fed the 5,000. And he's the beginning of the slowly increasing intensity. And because of that, 5,988 of the 6,000, of the 4,988 left. There's only the 12 left. But here he's talking about, let's start in verse 34. No, let's go up a little bit. Verse 31, huh?
7:31.
Well, no, wait a minute.
I didn't try it yet because I made you say it. I'll wait a minute again.
You're finally learning.
No, that's one place we could talk about. Let's go to John 7. Forgive me for running around here. This is the, in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this they spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of truth, "This is the prophet." Now, the prophet is this figure in Deuteronomy 18 about that everybody thought he was instead of the Messiah.
That's pretty bold.
Huh? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, life-giving water.
I learned that.
And verse 41 now. Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, to them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this." They answered, then answered them the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who know not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went into his own house. Now, this was just the beginnings of the division. That, and by the end of the time, those 4 days, again, it's just shocking that every person, without exception, was either silent or yelled, "Crucify him." It's hard to believe. He was silent. Well, I know, but I'm talking about before he was crucified. Peter denied him after he was crucified. The whole point was there was still a price on his head. on all of them, on all the Galileans. Because he violated your idea of what a Messiah is. He violated my idea of what a Messiah is. He violated everybody's idea of what a Messiah was. For some reason, it's just blowing me away this morning. For some reason,
is it still happening?
Yeah. Let's take a side. We're going to Isaiah 53 real quick.
Did I read that right? Nicodemus was a Galilean.
No. They're saying they accused of being one. Let's start at 52:13. Isaiah 52, verse 13.
Interesting study, just having completed Pentecost.
Yeah. It's just the order of things. So I mean, I didn't try to do this.
Yeah.
Verse 13 of chapter 52. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, the visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm, the seed of the Lord, really I should say, of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I just realized I'm starting to do what the rabbis do when they study scripture. I just noticed that I was doing that. I didn't even realize it. I think this is because they're old, they do that. Shut up, Tom. Anyway, we just sort of rambled this morning, but came not to send peace, but a sword. Pardon.
This last one really kind of elevates your vision to God's vision. And here he is, just beating the way out of his son or allowing that to happen. The visual of his blood is spread everywhere around the world, and it's like the most communicative thing ever done. Father would allow his son to be just ripped to pieces. And what for?
Well, plus believe, just remember, the son had all power in heaven and earth. All things were created by him and for him. And yet,
no resistance.
Yeah.
He had no resistance because he was about the will of his father, not his own will.
And then that will being that the people would see, that it has to just dissemble every structure of thought that you were relying on for your daily walks.
Yeah, you can't even, there's nothing about him that you can make understandable with your mind.
Yeah. And that's how God has to have it.
Right, so that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom.
Right.
And that's what your mind is a hunk of flesh. But we'll get back to Luke. Well, we're sort of on Luke now. All right, take a big breath.